Many analysts believe the return of Eldad Regev and Udi Goldwasser delivered a strategic victory to Hezbollah.
That prisoner exchange sparked a fierce debate in Israel, along with promises to review the practice. And yet, a year and a half later, Israel finds itself in the midst of another round of negotiations, another moral dilemma. For his thoughts on all of this, we're joined by Jonathan Schantzer. He is the Deputy Executive Director of the Jewish Policy Center and the author of Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine. Jonathan Schantzer is in Washington. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Israel has a long history of swapping soldiers for prisoners. Who really benefits from that policy?
Well, in my opinion, it's rarely Israel that benefits from these swaps, because often it's the case that Israel makes a swap for a fallen soldier. It's very rare that Israel has an opportunity to trade for a soldier who is still alive. So this is, I think, what we're seeing right now, what is so special about this case, the fact that Hamas has made a video available of this soldier, of Gilad Shalit. And so it is speaking to the Israelis who believe that, any soldier that's been left behind on the battlefield, dead or alive, needs to be returned to Israel either for a burial or to go on living their lives.
This policy is sacrosanct. It's even spelled out on the Foreign Affairs website, the policy of returning POWs, MIAs, kidnapped or fallen IDF personnel. This has been, this has been sacrosanct since the inception of the IDF in 1948. What do you think about that? Is it a policy that can continue?
Well, it's a policy that I believe is going to continue. Israel, this is something that's very popular inside Israel. I would say that I think I saw a poll saying that 52% of all Israelis right now feel very strongly about having Gilad Shalit return, and that does not include those who are, in favor, but moderately so. In other words, this is a very popular policy, and I think the Israelis are going to continue to do it. The idea here is that, again, every Jewish soldier deserves a Jewish burial, as we heard from Margaret, there is a lot of sympathy right now in Israel for this young man who's been held by Hamas for more than 3 years. So I don't see this changing anytime soon. But I think that, when you look at the big picture, this is not a policy that's going to help ease the conflict. In other words, when you let out 1,000 Hamas prisoners, people who have blood on their hands, and they are returned to either the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, and they are hailed as heroes for what they had done in the past, this will inevitably lead to more violence, more attacks against Israel, and the so-called cycle of violence will continue again. In other words, attacks will be launched, Israel will respond, and again, we find ourselves mired in the Arab-Israeli conflict that we all so much want to see brought to an end.
Now, in fairness, some of those prisoners are political prisoners. They don't all necessarily have blood on their hands, do they?
No. As a matter of fact, I think that's correct, that not all of them have engaged in attacks. But many of them, when you look at people who, let's say, work for the political bureau of Hamas, Hamas is an organization that likes to say that they have different arms, that there is a military wing and a political wing. But the fact remains is that the entire organization is devoted to the destruction of the State of Israel, and its political activities lend a hand to the military activities. It is very much a synthesized organization. So, it's very hard to say, well, this person has no ties to violence. If you are a political person within the Hamas organization, you are very much aware of its military activities.
Well, and that raises another issue, because this is Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is at the helm of all of this. And we heard Margaret Evans talk about Marwan Barghouti, who, of course, is Fatah. But he is in jail, sentenced to 5 life terms for his role in planning terror attacks. He is seen by many as a potential leader of the Palestinians. Back in the 90s, it was Benjamin Netanyahu who released Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the spiritual leader of Hamas, who at the time they thought he might die and it would be better if he didn't die in prison. But he came out and he almost renewed Hamas in some ways. There's a lot at stake here for Benjamin Netanyahu, is there not?
Well, there very much is. And I actually, it's funny that you raised this. This was a point I wanted to discuss with you today. And that is that, you also cannot discount the impact of internal Palestinian politics. And what's interesting to note is that in that trade, it was Yasser Arafat who decided to release Yassin as a means to try to co-opt him. And I would say, because Hamas was sort of this upstart organization that was really threatening to take over much of what Arafat had started through his Fatah faction. And I think what we're seeing is a little bit of that in reverse right now. In other words, Hamas sees the release of Barghouti as a way of potentially co-opting him, because he will inevitably be, when he is released, a popular figure within the Palestinian political landscape. Now, as far as what Bibi has at stake here, I mean, this is a very dangerous game that he's playing by releasing somebody like Barghouti, who is committed. I mean, Margaret called it resistance. Let's just be very clear. This is a man who is very proud of his terrorist past, and this is why he was arrested by Israelis for attacks that he helped plan during the so-called Intifada of 2000. If and when he is released, he will become a popular figure, and he will renew the Palestinian zeal for violence on the streets. And this really begs the question to Netanyahu of, you know, does he want to be releasing people like this? And should we not be trying to identify leaders who are more along the lines of a Nelson Mandela or a Mahatma Gandhi or a Martin Luther King within the Palestinian people, rather than someone who has blood on his hands like Marwan Barghouti?
You know, I'm reading that the Hamas leadership in Damascus, which would be Khalid Mashal, is wary of this. How significant is that?
Well, I think that there is a good reason to be wary of it. In other words, Barghouti could potentially usurp some of the power that Hamas has amassed. Hamas, since the election of 2006, in which it won by a significant margin, has really emerged as the dominant player in the Palestinian political landscape. To have Barghouti come out and continue to represent the Fatah faction would, in effect, dilute the power that Hamas has amassed. So It's for this reason, actually, that I believe that that Hamas may yet scuttle this deal. It is possibly more in their interest to simply hold on to Gilad Shalit, to demonstrate that they still have full control over the Gaza Strip, and continue to keep Hamas in its weakened state, to keep Fatah, rather, in its weakened state, and perhaps just continue to play this out as they have been, building power slowly.
You know, last March, when the current broadcast from Israel, I spoke with Gilad Shalit's father, Noam Shalit. We've got a clip of that conversation. Listen to this, please.
I believe that we have now very wide support, almost from side to side, except, the right wings in Israel and part of the families that suffered from the terror actions and that lost family members in terror actions. Part of these families are against the release of Gilad in exchange of terrorist sentence in Israel to many life prisons.
And how do you react to that? Are you comfortable with that, for your son being released, for all those people?
No, I would have been happy if Israel would manage to release only captives for Gilad, but they didn't have any other options. They looked for all the other options, but they didn't find any alternative.
Okay, well, that is Noam Shalit. Jonathan Shanser, Margaret talked about the fact that this has been, the Shalit family has kept this very much in the foreground. It is a struggle for the Israeli public.
It is. It's absolutely heartbreaking when you hear Noam Shalit talking about his son. And it was heartbreaking to see the video that was released over the summer of this very thin, sort of weak-looking Israeli boy. And, on the one hand, I think, very much understand why the family and why many Israelis want to see his release and believe that there's really, there's no such thing as too high of a price to pay. But again, you have to think about what happens when you release, you've got a list of about 450 prisoners that Hamas will name. And then on top of that, as I understand it, at least from what is being, negotiated through a German intermediary, in Syria, there would be another 530 or more terrorists.
He, by the way, is now in Gaza, that mediator. But, I'm also wondering what this says about Israeli intelligence, because I was in Israel in 1994 when Nachshon Waxman was taken, an Israeli soldier hitchhiking in the West Bank was taken and kidnapped. And they figured out where he was. They had a raid. He was killed in that raid. But they did know where he was. And right now it doesn't seem that they can do the same kind of strategic attack to get their guy out. What does that say about them?
Well, it says that that Hamas sees Gilad Shalit as a very important card that they are holding close to their vest. The Israelis did try to go in after he was captured in 2006. They again went looking for him in Operation Cast Lead of December 08 and January of this year. They have not been able, obviously, to find him. And, you know, obviously there's a danger in even getting close because Hamas would likely react and perhaps take his life. So, you know, the Israelis have been stymied time and again. And again, this is something that the Hamas organization is very, very proud of. You have to look, if you take a tour of Gaza, you will see murals of Gilad Shalit, with an attempt to depict him as suffering in prison. There are, when you go, there was actually a kindergarten play that was recently produced that reenacted the capture of Gilad Shalit. This is something that Hamas is extremely proud of, and they are trying to, I think, hold him very close.
So this is the paradox. His release could weaken Israel's security on one hand, but it would also weaken Hamas's strength is greater when they hang on to him. So this
exactly.
is the great dilemma. Huh?
I think that is the dilemma for Hamas, and it's for this reason that I'm doubtful that that this will eventually go through. There's a lot at risk.
Okay.
The reward actually is also great, though, with the number of people who would be released and would probably laud Hamas for securing their release. This could obviously make Hamas come out looking like the hero as well.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for your perspective on this.
Thank you.
That is Jonathan Shanser. He is the Deputy Executive Director of the Jewish Policy Center. He is also the author of Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C. Stay with